First Peter chapter 2, and we'll read from verses 9 to 10. So from 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's possession, so that you may proclaim the excellency of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Amen. Let's begin with a prayer. Father God, thank you for this morning and this opportunity that we can come together and start our morning and start our dates with our devotion and worship to you. Holy Spirit, we invite you right now to fill us up with your spirit and lead us through this time. And we are eager to meet with you, Lord. We, Holy Spirit, come right now and have your way with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, again, as I was praying and asking God what to share this morning, God put in my heart to talk about identity. And I was like, it's, again, a very big topic to share in EMP. I felt like God was saying that it's something that people might be struggling right now, especially in such a time like this. So it is indeed a topic that has been coming up in my conversation with some of my seminary classmates in the U.S. and also my conversation with brother and sister at church. And common theme is that people feel trembled and crushed by the opinion of others, critics, or the culture around them. And the world that we live in right now is full of voice / noise of who we should be and what we are not. And we are all long for connection and a sense of belonging. And because we are created by a relational God, and we belong to him. And however, quite often we look for acceptance from other places, from our parents, our friends, or the society that we are in, instead of looking for acceptance from our God, our Creator. So what does God say about us, say about our identity then? So let's look at today's verse, 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 to 10. So the book of 1 and 2 Peter are the epistles, the letters that are written by Apostle Peter to a group of Christians that scatter throughout the northern area of Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. So Peter identified himself as apostle of Jesus Christ in chapter 1, verses 1, and he also addressed his audience as alien, which is a word indicating that Peter was speaking not just to the Jew or Gentile, but to Christians that who are living in their life in such a way that they would have stood out as alien among the surrounding culture that they are in. So the theme of the first letter of Peter focused on suffering and persecution that churches in Asia Minor were struggling with. And he's trying to encourage them to persevere and press on with their faith. And scholars believe that based on the numbers reference to suffering and persecution in the letter, Peter probably write them or wrote them about 64 AD, just around the time that persecution of Christians was ramping up. So he began his letter by affirming and reminding them who they are, their identity in Christ, which will help them to see their suffering and persecution as a way to bear witness to Jesus. So when we look at verses 9, it says that you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. And all this like glorious title actually is echo the language that God used in Exodus 19:5 to describe Israel's identity as they are redeemed from Egypt to be God's possession, to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation in verses 6. So this title used to belong exclusively to the old Israel, the Hebrew, the children of Abraham. But here, Peter want to affirm these Christian, mainly non-Jew, to see this title are no longer restricted to Israel, but available to Gentiles who are in Christ Jesus, who call themselves there in Christ Jesus. So through Jesus, they now belong to the family of Abraham. So the fact that they are being mistreated, scattered around the world, is just like the exile of Israelite, wandering in the wilderness and looking for their true home in the promised land. So let's look at the title individually. So the first title is the chosen race. So the Greek word for race is genos, hope I pronounce it correctly, which means kindred, family. So the race here is not referring to being black or white or yellow. What gives us our identity is not the color or the culture. We are part of the chosen race because we are chosen by God from all the race into this family. So our first identity is that we are chosen. But God chose you and me, not because of our race or any qualification. The Bible tells us that he chose us before we were even born in Jeremiah 5. And I was accepted to God only by God's grace through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. So it's a gift. It's not because what I, you know, all you have done. So God also say that we are royal priesthood. So what is a priesthood? A priest is someone in ancient time is someone that who is the mediator between God and men. God himself provided the one mediator between God and men, Jesus Christ, so that we don't need another human priest as a mediator. And we have direct access to God because Jesus is our high priest. So we are now called to minister to others in the presence of God and present God to others. And our life is a priestly service and is our vocation. So the word vocation comes from Latin word vocal. So it means calling. So our job is job, but the vocation that we are holding is supposed to be our calling. So God says that you are a priest of where God sends you. So you are a priest in your school. You are a priest in the hospital that you're in, that you work in, and in a bank, or whatever job that you have. And so, so this is, one of our identity, with being the priest of our God. And God also say that we are a holy nation. The word holy actually means set apart. We are set apart from the world for God. And since God is holy and we are holy, and we are a group of people that got chosen as a kingdom of priests to model his holy living to his witness, to draw people from other nations into a saving relationship with God. So for identity is holiness to the Lord, and we are holy. So this is also one of identity. So God also says that we are a people for his own possession, which means that we belong to him. When we look up in verses 4 in the same chapter, it says that you have been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. So we are extremely valuable. What determines the value of a thing? So there are two factors that determines it, not supply and demand, but it determines by who owns it, how much someone is willing to pay for it. So I'm sure a basketball that is owned by Michael Jordan worth much more than a normal basketball or a basketball that owned by PSAM. So someone is willing to pay, I heard that someone is willing to pay $450 million for a painting, which is actually enough to feed the entire world of children who are suffering from hunger. But so that's the price of the painting, you know, someone willing to pay for it. That's the worth, right? So looking at us, then we are extremely valuable because we are owned by God. And so we are precious and we are priceless. And so we are also extremely valuable because God is willing to pay the price for us and for our life by sacrifice of Jesus. So we can see in fact that our identity is based on our relationship to God. We are chosen by God to be his people. We are ordained by God to be his minister. And we are set aside by God to be his witness. And then we are also owned by God. So Peter says in the summary statements at the end of verses 9 that God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And before we know Christ, we are living in darkness, in the darkness of not knowing God and our identity. But when we know the true identity in Christ, then we are like coming out of the darkness into the light. But then what are we going to do? What are we going to do about it? So now we have the responsibility to honor the God who transformed our life, to proclaim God's excellency, and to let people know what God has done for us. So he also further explained in verses 10 that we once were no people are now the people of God. And the people without mercy have now received mercy through Christ. So Peter used this, we call parallel contract comparison, to show how marvelous is God's love and mercy and the vast dimension of love of God and of his overwhelming mercy to all people. And because of his love that we find our identity in him, and because of his mercy, we are forgiven. So there's a lot of discussion in our days of like this self-concept, self-identity, especially in my study of becoming a counselor, this is a common theme. And how do we view ourselves? And it's an important question. And what I hope you hear this morning is that specifically from a biblical view on this question is that Christian, the self, and is not defined in terms of who we are in or of ourselves or who other think of us, is defined in terms of what God does for us and the relationship that he created us and the destiny that he appointed for us. So I want to end with a story of my personal story. I think that's one of the reasons why God wanted me to share this in this morning. So an incident that happened recently, and it reminds me when I first joined church as staff, and PSAM told me that, now you're one of the leader of the church. And I was like, what does that mean? So, and he was saying, that means that you're held higher standard than the congregation because you have to set an example. Okay. And so having worked in the church for about a year now, I have learned that we actually not only held at a higher standard in terms of the way we live our life, we also have a lot of responsibility being a leader. And I remember in one of the outreaches, for some reason, I couldn't be there in person. So I try to prepare the member as much as I can and give them the guideline or list of do's and don'ts, etc. I have confidence in them. And I still believe that that I receive a phone call from our NGO partner and kind of giving me the feedback, but nicely, they're a very nice person. Not going into the detail of what happened, it actually caused them quite a lot of trouble. So at that point, I actually want to dig a hole and bury myself. I feel completely, it's completely on me as a leader because I didn't do a good job, and leading, the number. I felt really bad because we are not only not helping them, but adding more work to them to do. And I remember I was really down. I told God that I want to quit. I want to quit being a leader. And not to quit working for church, but being a leader. I even told God that I'm not a good leader. I'm just not a good leader. I had never wanted to be a leader anyway. So Satan trying to tempt me of thinking of believing that I'm just not built to be a leader. I'm not like someone like PSAM, it's totally different personality. But then I remember clearly until this day, God said to me, God really liked to answer your question by asking the question. It's like, aren't you the one that who wanted to join homie? No, aren't you love homie? You love the people that you serve? Yeah, but you know, but I did a bad job as a leader. But then God said to me, yeah, I remember clearly He said, like, I don't think you did a bad job. I'm actually really proud of you, you know. And I remember that moment. I was like, oh, that's what mattered then, you know. As long as you said that I'm good and I did a good job, and everything else doesn't really matter. So that realization actually changed me, and I think since then I never told God again I want to quit, which I can anyway. But yeah, of course we have to review what we have done, you know, wrong, and you know, trying to do better next time and whatnot. But that doesn't define who we are, you know, and not our mistake or you know, or even our job, the position that we are in, it doesn't define us, right? So yeah, so today I want to, you know, probably just lead us into a time of prayer or worship, and yeah, just really to go before God, and to simply ask God to remind you who you are in Him and what does He think of you. And that's very important. And ask Him to, you know, even block all the noises from this world that are trying to tell you who you are and who you are not. And I was, you know, and I also want to invite you to actually drop those things down, you know, God's word, God's word about you, and repeat those things, what He said about you every day. Actually, you can look in the mirror or whatnot, and or maybe during your prayer that you can repeat that to yourself, and that you are chosen, you're valuable, you're precious in His eyes, and you are forgiven, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, let me right now invite Matthew to lead us in a prayer, and then I really invite you to go before God and to ask what He brings up you.
I'm accepted. You were
To faith for a long time believer, I feel like all of us we really need to ground our identity in Christ, especially in a time like this. Like, because some of you might lose your job, some of you might experience a lot of chaos at home. You feel like you're probably not doing a good job as a mom or dad. You didn't, to take good care of your children during this time, or even your parents, right? But all these things, it doesn't define you who you are in Christ. And this is temporary thing. It happened. And also, especially COVID, like no one really know, what's the right thing to do, whether wear masks or whatnot. I'm not going back to that topic, but even though, what you are experiencing right now, it doesn't gonna define who you are or your ability to work or whatnot. So we really have to ground our identity in Christ and to look at what he has done on the cross. And that's where we get our identity from, that we have forgiven. We are his chosen people. And then we set aside and for his work, and there is a sense of hope because of that. And I think just a great reminder for myself as well, like, because I know that we all know, like, our identity, of course, we know we are God of, like, we are God's people, and we are, we are chosen and whatnot. Like, these things we all know in our head, but then when you really, really owns it, like, really internalize it as your identity, that's different. Because in times like this, it will help you, saw through, this time of suffering or time of chaos, just a great reminder. Let's go to our community prayer right now for today. So let's continue to live up brother and sister who are battling cancer or who are going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's lift them up, continue to pray for God's healing hand. So next up, we're going to pray for Brother and Sister who are but also me. Not only physically, but also spiritually. Pray that God will bring them home and also let them know that He is their Lord and Savior. Let's lift them up. Various infirmity. Pray for God's full healing. Also pray for God's spirit will be with them this time, especially time of suffering. Just pray that God's presence will make known to them as well. Give them peace and also their patience during this time of healing. Thank you. Father. Them in every step of the way, and also pray that God will show them and provide them with a position that fits in, everything that they are capable of, or the personality or whatnot, and first and foremost that God will show them the path that they have prepared for them. Let's lift them up. So let's go to our mission focus for today. Let's continue to lift up all our branches, all our Singapore branches, or SP branches, SP Singapore, SP Indonesia, SP Philippines, SP New York. And I also pray that I believe all of them are right now meeting online, and just pray that God will continue to move powerfully and during this time. Also pray that God will lead all the leader and give them wisdom and give them discernment to lead their congregation during this time. Let's lift them up. Just pray that God will continue to lead them and guide them during this time, and all these kids or youth or university students will still be able to learn what God had prepared for them during this time. I also pray for all the leaders, Pastor Mary, Lisa, Donald, and P. Andrew, and pray that they will continue to lead this group in a more creative way during this time. Let's lift them up. Also, let's pray for the prayer and healing ministry, pray for IP, pray for the well and the river, especially the leader, Mac and Rachel, pray for them as they lead during this time. I know that there probably still some session and also some prayer going on online. Just pray that God will continue to bring healing even through online platform, and people will receive what they need to receive during this time. Yeah, let's lift them up right now. Okay, and also let's leave up our evening outreaches. I know SP lights is still going out. I don't know how often they are, but they are going out still to residential house. And for homie that we are suspended right now, but yeah, we also like live up the our NGO partner that who are actually still going out. Just pray that they will be safe and pray that the Lord will keep them safe as well, using them powerfully and to reach out to the people that are needed during this time in our city. Just lift them up. Let's also pray for our Thursday gathering. A few courses going on. We pray for EG that is happening. Also, we pray for helping with our hurting course that we are starting tonight, the first night. Let's lift them up, lift up all the congregation, all the people that who are joining the course. Just pray that God will still again move through online platform that they will all learn what they need to learn during this time of period. And also pray for the leader who are teaching. Pray that God will anoint them and give them the wisdom and to guide this group of people. Pray that the Holy Spirit will anoint them as well. Just lift them up. Okay, last but not least, we pray for Hong Kong. We all know that this, the situation is still not under control, still really bad. And especially, the frontline health worker, they're under a lot of pressure. So, let's lift all the people who are, working in the frontline, just pray for God's protection. And pray for God's, give them energy and to do their work as well. And just pray for Hong Kong, continue to pray for God's healing hand to come upon this land. Also pray for, God's peace to come upon each person, that knowing that He is still on the throne, He is still in control in this situation. Let's lift Hong Kong up into our prayer. Okay. Yeah, let's pray. Yeah, Father God, we thank you for your word today, Lord. We thank you that we got to hear your word this morning, God. And Father, we just, first and foremost, we thank you for who you are, God, that you are God, that who love us so much that you die on the cross for us, Lord. God, I just pray that, yeah, we'll cling on to that identity that that you have chosen us, Lord, that into your family, Lord, that we are valuable because of what you have done on the cross. And we are God's people and we are your people. And Father, I just pray that all this identity that has spoken into our brother and sister, Lord, I just pray that it will internalize and become who they are, Lord, and not the noises around them, and not the culture they're in or the world that they're in. And Father, I just pray that during this time of difficulty and suffering, we will cling on to that, Lord, because of that we have hope, we have a sense of hope that in you, Lord. And Father, just, yeah, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. And God, we just, live up and thank you for this time. And we love you. We praise your name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.